God, we thank You that You're here, Lord, in spirit and in truth, to forgive us of our sins. We've all done so this week, this month, throughout our lives, but You're here to say, I will forgive you if you'll just put your faith and trust in My Son, Jesus. Thank You for being there, Lord. Thank You for being there when we need You. Thank You for being there when we don't know that we need You. Thank You for being there on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Thank You for rising from the grave and being here now, alive, living in every one of us. May You truly shine through us every day. Lord, we just ask, because You're here, that You would speak to each of our hearts and help us to hear Your voice this morning through the opening of Your Word, that we might gain wisdom, knowledge, and by a result, because it comes from You, power to overcome whatever this world may throw at us, both right now and in the days to come. Again, Lord, we thank You because You are worthy of all our praise and honor. As we've gathered in Your name, as we sing in Your name, and as always, we pray in Your name, the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, God's Son. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I want to start by recognizing and thanking Leslie and Kirsten and Kathy and Greg from earlier service for being patient with me this morning. I keep changing the order of service and all this stuff that we're doing. I've said Omaha 27 times already today. That's the count that we're at. Some of you aren't getting that. Some of you are, but that's sort of the way it's gone this morning. And look forward to what God has in store for us going forward. And we're going to be, as you know, always, I make this joke every time, but I'm really not kidding, fairly short-winded because there's food downstairs. Amen? All right, good deal. Invite you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. For those of you visiting with us this morning and that sort of thing, we've been taking a look all month at removing the plank from our own eyes. Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, first, take the plank out of your own eye. We've initiated a couple of hashtags for conversations and sorting, and so we could keep up with that. Hashtag removing the plank, hashtag working on me in hopes of finding God's kingdom in our own hearts and lives, and His will in all that we say and do. Today, I want to take a look at a passage that I do enjoy reading and studying and preaching from. Luke chapter 11, just three verses this morning, verses 11 through 13. Jesus is talking. This is in red ink, and I'm going to get me just a quick throat smoother, and we'll read what Jesus has to say there. He says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, let me stop right there for just a second, because in the other service I said bread about 45 times, all right, when I was talking about fish. So if you hear me say the word bread, I'm actually talking about fish. I don't know why, it's just one of the words that got stuck in the wrong place in my mind, but we're talking about a fish, okay? Which of you fathers, when his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? May the Lord bless the reading of His Word this morning. We're going to get right into it this morning. What we see here is a word picture that Jesus is using, a very powerful one, of a small child, a little boy, coming to his dad, his father, and asking him for something that he wants or something that he needs. And he asks him for a fish, and the picture is, do you put a fish in his hand, or do you put a snake in his hand? All right? Well, that's a ridiculous question, and Jesus is meaning for it to be that way. It's to demonstrate a point. The same boy ask for an egg. Do you put an egg in his hand as his loving father, or do you put a scorpion in his hand as his loving father? And to tie this in with what we've been talking about now for weeks and months, here's the main thing I want you to understand. Once again, there are two ways of living. There's two different ways of looking at life. There's two different ways of walking this earth of ours. There's two different ways of living. There is God's way, the Bible's way, the way that Jesus came to show us when He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's the world's way, which is very different. And these two ways of living are depicted in the story that Jesus is telling us. You see, if you think about the fish or and the snake or the egg and the scorpion. If you think about these things, there's a contrast there. Okay, you got a fish and an egg, both of which are what? They're food. They're something that nourishes. They're something that gives life. They're something that gives us strength. The egg even depicts life that is to come, the potential of life. Whereas the snake and the scorpion are ugly, harmful, hurtful, poisonous, and can kill you. These are the two different ways of looking at life, of living life. These are the two different worldviews that we are confronted with every single day in this world right now in 2014. One is God's way, and it offers nourishment, it offers a sustaining power, it offers us food, it offers us life, and the other is hurtful, harmful, ugly, poisonous, and can kill you. And God says, I offer you a good way. That's what he's saying. A little bit more on this as we break it down a little bit. Jesus starts off by saying, which of you fathers, if his son asks for a fish? I like this. If you can picture in your mind the way this probably happened, that he had 12 disciples. There was Peter and James and John and Bartholomew and all these guys that were there. And he gets them circled around, and maybe he's sitting there with them, or they're standing and talking and that sort of thing. And he says to these 12 men, which of you fathers, when your son asks you for a fish, aha. You see, Jesus is talking to these guys. What do we gather from that statement? Some of them were dads, all right? Some of them were fathers themselves, and he's relating to them. Here's what I want you to know. Jesus understood them, and he understands you. There is nothing that you're going through. There's nothing that you're in the midst of. There's nothing that you will encounter, all right, in this world, in this week, in this year, that he doesn't understand, that he can't relate to. We learned last month when we were reading John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning the Word was with God and the Word was God, and everything that has been created was created through him. That's Jesus. He has seen it all. You're not going to throw one by him, okay? He understands and he can relate. And he shows us just how well he relates when he's talking, which of you fathers, right? When his son asks for a fish, we'll hand him a snake. Or if his son asks for an egg, we'll hand him a scorpion. Not only can he relate, not only does he understand, listen to me this morning, he has overcome it all. Amen? And he wants to help you and can show you and can enable you how to overcome whatever it is that you and I might encounter. And one of the things that we're encountering is this difference of worldviews, okay? The two different ways of living, the two different ways of looking at things. There is a whole different worldview that's not of the Bible. And it's out there, and it's creeping. No, it's not creeping in anymore, is it, okay? It has kicked the door down, right? All right, it's not kicking the door down. It has kicked the door down. This different worldview that is not of the Bible has kicked down the doors of our government. This different worldview has kicked down the doors of our schools. This different worldview has kicked down the doors of American business. This different worldview has kicked down the doors of many homes and far too many churches. This different worldview is not knocking. It has burst in where it was not welcome by the Holy Spirit. This worldview says that, you know, the Bible's nice and it's neat and it's kind of cool and it's, you know, interesting and poetic and all that, but it's not to be taken too seriously. I mean, come on, it's helpful on some things, but don't get bent out of shape about it or with it. If you want to, this worldview says, if you want to go to church and listen to that and put some faith in that on Sunday, that's fine. To each their own. This is the worldview. You want to believe that, that's fine, and I'll believe this. But that same worldview says, don't bring it home. And certainly don't bring it to church. And really don't bring it to school. That's what the worldview says. All right? That worldview is a snake and a scorpion. I want you to know that this morning. That's what that worldview is. It's dangerous, it's poisonous, it's ugly, and it will kill you. All right? This is not what the Bible has taught us. A little bit more on it. Here's what the real deal is, okay? Listen to me very carefully. If you think about the boy coming to his father and saying, I need a fish and I need an egg, and he gives him what he wants him to have, and you put the fish and the egg both in one hand, okay? Maybe there's room there. And then you put the snake and the scorpion in the other, okay? I've got the good stuff in one hand. You understand what I'm saying to you? I've got the fish and the egg, that which is nourishes and gives strength and life in one hand, and I've got the snake and the scorpion in the other. Just because I've got the good stuff in my left hand, that doesn't mean I ain't going to get bitten, that does it? I'm still going to get bitten if I try to hold on to both. Don't hold on to both. In a room this size with this many people, that's happening. Examine yourself. Let's make sure. Because God wants you and I to know that it's dangerous. It's serious. It's potentially lethal in ways that are more than just physical and in ways that are more than just spiritual for you, but for your children if we're trying to hang on to both. How do I know what's poisonous, preacher? How do I know what's poisonous? Let me tell you what you do. You shine the light on it. You run it through this filter. You test it with this light right here. If it cowers away from the light, if it is uncomfortable in the light, if it doesn't jihad with what God's Word, the perfect light, says, then it's poisonous. You understand what I'm saying to you this morning? We need to shine the light on these things to find out whether it's poison or not. Scripture says here that a good parent does and gives what is good to their children, not what is bad. You know, the whole thing is here that you got the boy coming to the father and says, you know, hey, I need this, and the father gives it to him, right? The implication here, what Jesus is saying, if you read between the lines, and you don't even have to do that, is listen to me, it is the father, it is the mother, it is the parent that is to provide. Amen? You understand what I'm saying to you? That knowledge, that truth, that spirit, it is the parents that are responsible. You are the ones who should provide. And you want to give them what's good. I know that my daughter is pushing on 20 months old, and she learns something new every day. Here's what I want you to know. I've got a little off track, but if it's the parent's job to teach and to pass along and to provide the children with what is good, then it is not the job of the government. It is not the job of the school system. It is not the job even of the grandparents. Amen? All right? Now, I'm not saying grandparents shouldn't have a role and they shouldn't be helpful and all that. I mean, if I was to stand here this morning and say, grandparents, don't spend any time with your grandchildren, that'd be wasted breath, now, wouldn't it? All right? And that'd be a waste of time. All right? Yeah, exactly. But it is the parent's job, says the Bible, to make sure that your children are given what is good, are provided with a worldview and a way of thinking and a way of living that is good. My daughter picks up something new every day. She learns a new word every day. Somewhere along the line, she learned this little move right here just recently when she takes her arms like this and goes, sup. Now, I didn't teach her that. I didn't teach her that. One of you people in here taught her that, all right? I taught her to say, go pack, all right? I taught her a lot of things, but I didn't, that's right. But I didn't teach her that. Somebody here taught her that. Make sure, parents, that you are the ones that are teaching. Here's the thing. They're getting something new every day. Let's make sure we pass along what is good, what is nourishing, what is life-giving, what is potentially new life-giving, and that which is not ugly or harmful or poisonous. That is the whole purpose of hashtag working on me. See, because if you have it, you will pass it along. You understand what I'm saying to you? We got to work on us so we make sure what we pass to the next generation is good. I got to make sure that I'm where I should be. If you don't fend it off, it will come in. If you don't keep it out of your house, it will come in your house. It will burst the door down, okay? Fill your home with fish and eggs, not snakes and scorpions. Fend off that which is dangerous. There's a small town in Georgia by the name of Tifton, and the most interesting thing about Tifton, Georgia, is an abandoned old Victorian house filled with thousands of bats. They declared the once elegant house in the town's historic district off limits after a bat specialist came in and said that there is potentially 20,000 bats living in this one house. Goodness gracious alive. They've moved in. Apparently for good. Teenagers call it the bat house. That's pretty neat. People talk about the smell. which is an unholy mix of animal urine and rotting wood. One particular reporter is talking to a nearby neighbor, a retired 69-year-old nurse, and she said, "You ain't smelled nothing until you come back in here on a hot day." I don't want to go in that house, do you? Okay, I don't have anything with it, whether it smells or not. Vacant houses get infiltrated and filled in with all kind of critters, all right, all kind of creatures, and probably not just bats, okay? Many of these creatures come in, they make a mess, they create a big stink, and eventually they ruin the dwelling, okay? But it's not just about vacant houses, it's about vacant or unfulfilled, unfilled homes, hearts, and lives. If we leave it open, we leave it empty, all right, then the bad stuff will come in. If a person doesn't fill their life with good stuff, bad stuff, sometimes, no, just about every time, the evil stuff will move in and take over. You've got to be aware of it. You have to be thinking about it at all times. What is going on in your house? What am I filling it with? All right? There's poison around just about every corner. We have to be aware of it. There's poison around every corner, and God wants us to keep separated from it. How do I keep it separated? God's Word says in Proverbs chapter 29 and 15, "How is it that I'm going to teach, show, lead, instruct, and demonstrate to my children, to my family, what is good and what is right? How is it I'm going to give them?" Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother." And then, of course, in Proverbs 13:24, we've heard this a million times, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." Now, we've read these verses and interpreted them rightfully so. I'm not trying to make a cross-the-board brushstroke correction here about corporal punishment. The Bible does endorse it. That's the facts of life. The Bible does endorse it, okay? And we should be able to do these things when necessary, because the poisonous worldview will creep into your children if you don't do something about it. Y'all with me on that, okay? I can tell you from personal experience, my own parents did not spare the rod, okay? Under no circumstances was it left out of the equation. Daddy said he'd never seen a young'un that didn't need a whipping every now and then. And he exercised that right quite frequently. I never got one I didn't deserve, all right? I deserved several I never got. I never got one I didn't deserve. You know, I remember with horror, the picture is just blazoned into my mind's eye of that time, or several times actually, when you were instructed to go out to the bush or the tree and select the branch for your own switch, okay? Y'all know what I'm talking about, all right? And don't bring one back that's too flimsy or small, because then he's going to go get one and ain't nobody going to like that, all right? But it's worse than going and getting the switch stick. Worse than actually getting the whipping, I think. As I recall with all this vividness, is watching him very slowly, methodically, and demonstratively take his pocket knife out of his pocket and trim it down while you watched. It had to go so slow. So you sit there and think about it. That was the worst part, right? So the rod wasn't spared. Later on, Mom got more involved in that sort of thing, and she was a fly swatter ninja. I mean, she had a windmill move that was impressive. Didn't spare the rod in the Atkins house, not when I was growing up. But the whole thing about these verses is we see that the rod, he who spares it, make sure you use it. We remember from our study of Psalm 23, remember what it said? Talking about the Good Shepherd, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Well, I don't see how you put those two together. Well, here's the thing. We said then that the Good Shepherd's rod was not just used to bump the sheep back in line, but it was used as a weapon to fend off predators. That which was dangerous, poisonous, deadly. That which could come into the herd and cause destruction. What we learn from this, parents, don't spare the rod. Make sure once you see something dangerous start to creep into your children, something dangerous start to creep into your home, that you use it to fend it off. It is a snake and a scorpion, and it will cause problems. Let's make sure we do that. Poison's around every corner. let's keep separated from it. What is it that I'm supposed to do, preacher? I mean, that it's everywhere. The people are everywhere that don't think the way I do, that don't follow by what the Bible teaches. The Great Commission tells us we're supposed to go out and make disciples of these other people who don't think the way that you. Amen? Absolutely. Not contradicting that whatsoever. Here's the thing about poison. I can keep it in a jar, in a bottle, and keep it right here on the pulpit, and it's not going to do any harm. I can have it right here, and it's poison doesn't hurt you until you take it in. Until it gets into your bloodstream, until it gets inside, that's when it can hurt you. There's a story from last summer where I had, and this was rare, it almost never happened, had gone to Mooresville to umpire a American Legion a baseball game, a playoff game, and I rarely ever go that far away, but it was on a Friday night, and we got rained out in about the fifth inning or something like that, and I ran and got in the car, and the wind and rain's just pounding, and it's raining cats and dogs, and I called Courtney, see how she's doing, because I got a little baby and a wife at home, and I'm, you know, never that far away for this long, and I just called, and I said, how's everything going? And she was taking, I said, is it raining there? No, I'm taking the dogs outside, and she said, I just opened the back door there, and on the brick right outside the back door, there's a snake. I said, what kind of snake is it? She says, I don't know. She said, I said, stay away from it, but, you know, see if you can figure out what kind it is. So she sent me a picture. She texted me a picture of the snake that was out there on the brick patio behind the back door, just feet away from the house. And you could tell it wasn't very big by the judgment of the bricks that it was laying. But it's a copperhead. All right, y'all with me on this? Now we're getting serious. I'm an hour and a half away. My wife and baby are at home. And there's a copperhead this far from my back door. She said, what do I do? I said, there ain't but one thing to do. Kill it. Kill it. Kill it quickly. Kill it now. Kill it hard. Kill it twice. Have no mercy. How do I do that? I said, get a bat, a board, something. And I'm here on the phone. She said, I got to put the phone out. Bat, 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 bat. I said, get a bigger board. Boom, 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 boom. Okay. I said, the key here, honey, is whatever you do, don't let it get in the house. If it gets away from you, run it out away. Use that rod to run it away from the house. Because once it gets in, it can get in these small little places and you don't know where it's at and you don't know when it might be lurking and you've got a toddler crawling around and who knows when the two are going to come into contact with each other. That's what Jesus Christ is talking about with the difference of worldview in this world today. Don't let it in your house. It will damage your family beyond what you are prepared to accept. And it is the parent's responsibility to weigh everything and to keep an eye on everything and making sure that what we pass along to the next generation is nourishing and full of life, not dangerous and poisonous. Amen. Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, we thank you so much for the truth and the power of your word. Lord, it is my prayer this morning that you would help us to recognize what around us is dangerous. What lifestyles, what language patterns, what ways of thinking differ from your loving and perfect word. And Lord, with love for human beings that are your children, that have lost their way or have yet to find the way, Lord, help us to stay separated from that which is poisonous. Lord, help us remember that you've said that you love us even more than our own parents. You love us even more than we love our own children. And you want to give us, by the power of your Holy Spirit, something that is so good, so much better than what this world has to offer. Something that will bless our lives. Something that will give us strength and power and help us to overcome anything that tomorrow might bring. Lord, we claim that promise. We claim just how good and loving you are. We claim what you offer in Jesus' name. Your way of living, your way of thinking. for it is good. We claim that you love us more than anybody, and we accept your precepts and yours alone. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. A little boy has been consistently late for dinner. He's out playing out in the side in the yard or whatever the case may be, and every night he comes home late for dinner, and his parents have been getting on to him, and one particular night he came home extremely late for dinner. And he sat down in his place, and he looked down at his plate, and he saw nothing but a piece of bread and a glass of water. Now he knew what the deal was. He knew his punishment was just, but his heart was still broken because he's hungry. And he needed nourishment, something real. And he sat there for a minute, sad and worried. And then all of a sudden, his father's hand reached over from the other chair at the table and took that plate out from in front of his son and replaced it with the full plate of his father's own. The father took the sparse plate, and the son received that which was full. When he became an adult, the man said, "I was always able to understand what God is like by what my father did for me that night." He offers to take away that which is not ever going to be enough. He offers to take away that which is doing harm in your life, the sin and the strife. And he offers to fill your plate with good stuff. All you have to do is come and take it. Accept his forgiveness. Put your faith in Christ and Christ alone. And that's what God will do for you. I hope you will, because I know you can, as we stand and sing.